Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back. Podcast number 637? Anyway, track is over.
Track is over.
It is done.
I can't believe it. I can't believe the day has finally come.
R.I.P. track.
Until another couple months.
Should we say like a solemn message to the season?
Go ahead. I'll let you lead it.
Okay. Dear, you know what? I'm going to save the message for the end of the podcast.
Okay.
But first, let's talk about our sponsors.
Yes, our sponsors, Wonderful Pistachios. If you guys are looking for a delicious and nutritious snacks that are packed with a real punch of protein, crack into a good source of protein with the tasty, healthy, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there, but that's not all. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and their better for you unsaturated fats, which may help you keep feeling fuller longer. You know what the best part about it is, Gordon?
What's that, Olivia?
Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavor sizes, which is perfect for enjoying with your family, your friends, when you're going out, going to your meetings, dropping the kiddos off at their extracurricular activities. It's awesome. Healthy and a tasty snack could be in your pocket. So Wonderful Pistachios will be your now go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
So track is over, Prefontaine in the books. You were there.
I was there.
How was it?
It was fantastic.
What was the high and low?
Ooh.
Of this, it doesn't have to be a specific race or just the whole weekend as a whole.
I think the high for me, and I've been to Eugene a couple of times, but what I greatly appreciate it is the community understands track and field. Like, they get it. And, like, every time I was in Eugene, every day, Ashley and I went for a run every single morning, and we're just looking at all these different runners doing their thing. So I felt like that was the high. Like, everyone just, it's a running community, Eugene itself. The low, that's really hard. I feel like...
it's got to be a low.
For me, it was the weather.
Weather? It was hot?
It was cold.
Well,
it was
cold.
Like, I was freezing. In the beginning of the day, it was like 50s. Then it got warm, hot, and then it dropped a little bit too cold. So for me, anything below 60, it's like sweatshirt weather for me.
Because we've been dealing with 100 degree weathers in Austin.
Yes.
So it was a culture shock for you?
It was a culture shock, yeah. I was just hoping I wouldn't get pneumonia with all the, the different levels of cold and hot throughout the day.
There you go. So Prefontaine, you wrote down some of the superlatives.
I did.
2 world records, 5 Diamond League records, 1 U20 record, which... low-key, I don't know which one that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. According to World Athletics, that's what happened.
You don't know where the U20 record is?
I was trying to figure that out yesterday. I was like, who broke
the
world U20 record?
I'm not quite sure. Well, I'm going to have to look into that one. If someone in the chat knows what the U20 record was, that would be great. 9 area records, 14 Prefontaine records, and 14 world leads.
Yes, and apparently this meet was the highest quality non-championship meeting in history, and it's based off of its competition performance and its ranking scores per World Athletics. So I think that's quite interesting.
So before we get into all the events and break down one by one, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on this? We were able to have a final in every track event except for, I guess, the multis, the relays, and the hammer throw. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there was a final for every, the one, the two, the four. And they did it in two sessions over 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's like firework after firework after firework compared to Worlds where it's 9 days.
Yes.
And you're like going through rounds and it's spread out and you get like only three fireworks per day. Would you like World Championships to just be held over 48 hours where you just have firework?
No.
Why not?
I feel like there's, you have more athletes that you're working with, and to be like, hey, we're going to just narrow it down with one race or one competition, I feel like that's just, it's too much.
Okay, call, say make it a 4-day competition. So you still have a semifinal. We have three heats going to one.
I just think it gets hard if you're doubling. Like,
well, it's hard if you're doubling. Say that to Sharika Jackson and Jakob Ingebrigtsen.
I understand that. But like,
it's not hard if you're doubling.
If you're doing a 4-day period? Are we thinking, how many have you rounds? Ever, have you how ever, many rounds have you ever, are you thinking?
How many college athletes double or triple at NCAAs? And they have always either a 2-day meet indoors or a 4-day meet outdoors.
Well, it depends. Like, for me, I was running the 4x1, 4x400, 200.
Yeah, and you did it. One,
it was exhausting.
Yeah, but you did it.
That was exhausting.
Oh, because it's tiring?
Yes.
Track is supposed to be track is tiring. Yeah, no. It's an endurance sport.
Absolutely not. I personally like Worlds.
Spread out over 9 days?
Yes, oh, I do. I feel like there's something to just look forward to.
No, I
like
just...
each day.
I just know that awesome. When you're watching it, you get to see, boom, amazing thing. Then 5 minutes later, another crazy thing. Whereas you have to like, you get to get all that dopamine over an amazing 2-day weekend.
So are you saying that it should be like NCAAs where they have like the qualifying rounds at like...
Thursday and Friday are qualifying rounds.
Like at regionals? And no, then no. At NCAAs, you only have those two rounds?
First of all, only 24 people in the world should make Worlds. That's not like 56. What do we need? 50? We only need 56. They only let like 30 field event athletes, I think, in 32 or something. So 32 to 20, we can figure that out, the semantics there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do prelims on Thursday and Friday, and then it's all finals on Saturday and Sunday.
I don't know about that.
I think it'd be great. What was the chat thing?
I don't know. I've been... NCAA days, those were hard. I just remember last day was like 100 final, 200... Well, 4x1, 100 final or whatever, vice versa. Then 200 final, then 4x4. It
but
was
like,
just like... It, there was never an opportunity for me to just like regroup myself. It was just like boom, 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 boom.
But if you're like a spectator, would you rather watch... 8 or how many were in the like say 12 amazing finals over a 4-hour period, or have to buy 9 tickets, stay in a hotel over 9 days to see that same thing?
Logistically, yes, I wouldn't want to spend money on 9 whole days, but I think I just love track and field. I just kind of want to see it every day.
There's a limit though. Do you want to Worlds be a month long?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay,
no.
So what's the
limit? I
number?
Feel like
what's
the sweet
the
spot, yeah, between 6 and 9 days.
6 and 9 days.
Yeah.
So why not 4? It's only 2 off from your minimum of 6. It's only 2, difference of 2.
Yeah, but that's
let's
also
make it 5.
Like, that's also how many hours, too. Like, how many hours per day?
It wasn't that long.
Like 12?
No, it's not even that long. How long was a Prefontaine? It wasn't
like,
that long.
Well.
They were short. They got it done.
It was like 11... It's about 2 or 3.
Yeah. So it's 4 hours.
Yes. But again, I was also in the media, so it was definitely longer than that, too.
Anyway, I just was looking at it, and I just thought that, hey, we should be doing Worlds the way we do Diamond League Finals. To the point, show the stars, get it done with. 2 amazing finals days on a Saturday and Sunday. I mean, we do golf tournaments in 4 days. They do, you know, they just, we could do it. We could do it. I believe. Anyway, let's get into the meat, though. Starting with the sprints. Hey, Olivia.
Hey, Gordon.
Someone in this podcast said that Noah Lyles was going to lose the Diamond League final.
Someone did say that. I wonder who it could have been.
And he said he was going to lose the Diamond League final because there was no pressure. No, because now there was pressure. There was no pressure in the World Championships, but now there's pressure in the Diamond League.
Mm-hmm.
And the season. And the person who I thought actually would be the world champion was Christian Coleman. He actually wins a Diamond League title.
Yeah.
Runs the world lead. 3 men have the world lead. Zarnell Hughes, Christian Coleman, and Noah Lyles all have run 9.83. Coleman gets the last win over Lyles. Lyle still showed up. It wasn't like a blowout by any means. Right. Like, it still took every ounce of the 100 meters for Coleman to be victorious. But it just shows that, you know, Coleman is still here. He was the yes. world champion 2019. He had the suspension due to whereabouts failures. He was getting himself into form last year. This year, I thought this was the year he would have his back on top moment, but Lyles was able to time it better than Coleman. Coleman basically said, oh, I'm going to be really good in September. And Lyles said, I'm going to be really good in August.
Yeah. It was definitely interesting to see the dynamic of how this race unfolded. Like, I was expecting Tobogo to place a little bit better than what he did. He finishes eighth there. And I just think it's also just been a tremendously long season. I know we talked about this multiple times, how we felt like this meet should be before Worlds. So it's like we just end on a really strong, fast, powerful note. But Christian Coleman, as we talked about last time, I was like, Christian Coleman looks sharp right now based off that race that he had going into this meet. So I'm not honestly surprised by Christian Coleman taking the victory here.
Does this race, does this win, who should be the favorite next year now?
I think you just have to, I don't know. I feel like you have to go with the defending champ, the world champion from this current year. So I'm assuming people are going to think Noah Lyles is that person to beat. Still,
I mean, now, but let's look at the Christian Coleman now has raced Noah Lyles a few times this season, and I think he has the more wins over him head to head. So let's check up the head to head with Noah Lyles. Should have came prepared. I always so they raced each other in the 100 meters. Gotta redo it. Make him. Come on, World Athletics, you gotta help me out here. All right, sorry, we're delayed. We're getting fed. This would be an interesting thing because you basically have the world champion, Noah Lyles, and Christian Coleman. They raced each other four times in 2023, and Christian Coleman won three of the four.
Okay. That's like me posing the question, is Shakira Richardson still the favorite in the 100 going into Paris, even though she...
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
You know?
We'll get to that.
But it's kind of posing the same question.
Yeah. But what's more impressive, winning three out of four or just winning the one that was world championships?
Well, I think the person, they're going to say when it counts the most. Noah was able to get it done when it counted the absolute most.
But it's still 100 meters.
You're right. But he did it when it mattered most.
Yeah.
And that's what Grant said in the mix zone as well.
But Coleman did it more often.
Yeah, but he didn't get it done when it counted the most. When the highlight of the whole entire season is riding on somewhat the world championships and you don't get it done there, but you get it done any other time?
Okay, would you rather be your athlete A or athlete B? Would you rather be in a situation where you have beaten this person 19 out of 20 times mm-hmm. and your one loss was at Worlds? Or would you rather be the person where you beat them once at Worlds and lost to that person 19 times?
I want the medal.
No, but like confidence going in. Do you feel like who should be more confident? The person who
honestly,
is
yeah,
one for
person,
20 with the one win being Worlds
yeah,
or 19
for
20?
Confidence is going to help you win that race.
Confidence will help you win.
Yeah, but it doesn't determine if you're going to win or not.
I think confidence.
So Christian Coleman can be like, yeah, I've won more races over Noah Lyles, but Noah Lyles has the gold medal.
Yeah, but okay, there's no, I mean, Coleman has a gold medal as well.
Right, so. But we're talking like recently, like right now, this year.
What I'm saying is
Christian Coleman did not win the title.
Yes.
Hold on, let me check.
Did he not win the title? Let me check. Yes, he got fifth. Yeah, okay. He did not win the title, for sure.
But I can see it from this perspective of, like, Christian Coleman has the mental space to be like, okay, I have beaten Noah Lyles multiple times. I can do it again.
Yeah.
But Noah Lyles is thinking, Christian Coleman has beaten me multiple times, but I beat him when it counted the most.
Yeah, but if you rest on your laurels, you may come up flat.
Very true.
So, I don't know. I think I would rather be... They both have a reason to be confident. One
right.
has confidence because of timing. The other one has confidence because of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I would rather be consistent than timing. Because timing can screw up.
That's very
there's
true.
Daylight savings time. There's time changes.
That's
Paris,
very
it's
true.
A weird, you know.
That's very true. I could see it going both ways. Because I can be like, man, yeah, Christian Coleman can beat me. Trials. Made the team. Still, I'm still advancing.
The one thing
however,
for
however,
Yes.
Noah Lyles has the gold medal. Three of them.
The one thing I love, though, now that Lyles has obviously the pedigree of the best season in 2023. Coleman has the pedigree of world lead and having a win over Lyles. And you also throw Fred Curley has a pedigree from winning a year ago, didn't have a good season this year. The men's U.S. team in the 100 is going to be a fun trials to watch because,
oh,
you know, Lyles, Coleman, Curley's going to be coming back even stronger. Marvin Bracey ran well late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Bromell coming off an injury. Some college kid's going to come up strong. I can't wait. So
some college kid's going to come up strong.
Some college kid's going to come up strong. But according, we did our new world rankings for combining what they did over the entire season, Diamond League, World Championships, overall top marks, and I ranked Lyles over Coleman. So
okay.
Lyles was one, Coleman was two.
Okay.
Not in the top 10, Fred Curley.
That hurts.
Who'd have had that? Who'd have had Fred Curley not in the top 10 in the FloCheck rankings after the 2023 season?
That's tough.
I mean, it makes sense, though. It doesn't make the final. He only ran, like, 9.8 high or 9.9 low. You know? It's going to happen. So let's move over to the women's 100.
Yes.
Another exciting race. We had Sha'Carri Richardson in there. We had Sharika Jackson. And similar to the men's race, the world champion goes down even a little farther here. Sha'Carri finished fourth overall. Still close, but Tolu, Sharika Jackson, and Elaine Thompson, hurrah, all defeat Sha'Carri. There's a lot of different parts of me here. I first want to talk about a little bit of Elaine Thompson, hurrah.
Yeah, let's go there first.
She's the one here who was not at Worlds. She did not qualify out of the Jamaican Trials. And now she was able to still have a phenomenal end of the season, continually set new season's best, ends it with a win over the world champion. Elaine Thompson Hurrah's stock is just going barnacles right now.
So did you have her as a top three finalist for Paris?
I think I did.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did it.
No, I did.
Who'd you take? We did this.
I did Shelly-Ann Fraser, Price.
You did Shelly-Ann, Sharika,
Elaine,
and
Sha'Carri.
Oh, you took Sharika off.
I took Sharika off, yes. Sorry, I thought you didn't have a lane.
I took Shelly-Ann off.
Okay. I thought you didn't have a lane. I thought you didn't have a lane.
I had a lane, Sharika, and Sha'Carri.
Okay, we're good. Okay.
I'm more confident in... So, you think that Sharika Jackson, who's now just won the 1 and the 2 in the Diamond League, is not going to get a medal in the 100 meters? You can take it back. It's only been a week old pick. You can still say...
I'm sticking with my pick for right now.
You're too biased to Shelly-Ann.
I just know the Rocket, it's her last one. She's going to go out with a bang.
If Shelly-Ann was in this race, Shelly-Ann would have finished fifth.
Why do you say that?
Because I think she would have finished right behind Sha'Carri.
I don't know if she would finish fifth.
Where would she have finished?
Fourth.
Okay, so she would be in Sha'Carri?
I think so.
All right.
Definitely top four.
Definitely top four.
Yes.
No matter what, top four.
Yeah.
All right, so what else do you take away from this?
Sharika is just a whole nother beast. Does the double, the 1 and the 2, looked very strong in the 100. I feel like Sha'Carri, you know, she made the statement of like, and I understand where she's coming from too, like this race does not define her. And I feel like as we go throughout the terms of the season, I just think it's interesting how, and I know we were talking about this earlier, of like the mentality for some of these athletes going into Prefontaine. It's like, some of them, it seems like, hey, we're going for the win, like we're making sure, and others are just like, I'm just going to put one last, just lacing up my spikes one last time, getting this race in, and in the season.
So you're telling me athletes who are professionally paid to run were treating the Diamond League final like practice?
Jakob Ingebrigtsen took it as a time trial, so if that's what he said, so
but you,
some of them, maybe.
We were talking about this offline. We'll get into it now. Mino, let's just get into
it
now.
Let's just get into it.
There were a lot of people who were favorites or defending world champions or, you know, just like expected to win or thought to win who lost and they didn't care. There's a lot of people who got second or third or fifth or whatever that didn't care that they lost. Whereas if they got second, third, or fourth, or fifth at Worlds, they cared because they wanted to win. That's bad. It's bad when you don't care that you get second, third, fourth, fifth, or whatever, that you're able to just be like, it doesn't matter. you can't say it matters when you win and doesn't matter when you lose. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. It needs to matter when you win and matter when you lose. That makes winning better. That makes losing more of a motivation. It's a whole reason of competition. There's a winner and a loser. And then the winner wants to stay winning. The loser wants to stop losing. And they go back and forth. And it's fun to watch every single time. But when athletes are like, it's okay. It was a good season. What do you mean it's okay? No, you wanted to win. I want to hear them be like, oh, man, I wish I had. It's okay to lose. There's nothing wrong with losing.
Yeah.
But there should be a little bit of recognition that, like, you didn't want to lose. But they want to, like, cover it up and be like, it's no big deal to, like, you know, camouflage that they lost.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I wasn't trying. No, everyone is trying. Everyone's trying to run as fast as humanly possible. And it's okay that you lost. But this whole idea that, like, it doesn't matter, that's bullshit. It does matter. If it doesn't matter, then why should people spend money to fly out to Eugene to watch you? Why should sponsors spend money to pay you to have a career? If it doesn't matter, then why is track and field a thing?
Yeah. I hear you.
If the only thing that matters is Worlds, then there should be zero races before or after Worlds.
Well, that's what... Yes, I agree with you 100%.
But these same athletes are then going to say, oh, why isn't our sport popular? Oh, maybe because 356 days of the year, you say it doesn't matter, and that's only the other 9 of the days of the year, the Worlds, that matters. So it's just like, you can't have your cake. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to say nothing matters, but also we want everything to matter because we are elite athletes. And they should. They are elite athletes. They're the most amazing things on the earth. But if they keep on saying it doesn't matter, then how are the fans, how are the sponsors, how are the people around the sport going to care?
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't see LeBron James at the end of losing, like, an NBA finals be like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm happy for Steph Curry.
The NBA finals. Yeah, I just feel, again, I know these athletes are tired and they're just like world champions.
Everyone's tired.
I get it. I can understand from this perspective of like, we're just going to go out and just run and have fun with it. Not necessarily caring what place we get.
But it's making a mockery of the event if this is just a glorified exhibition. Mm-hmm. This isn't an exhibition.
Right.
This isn't a pro-am tour, like, where we're having fun and, like, you know. It's supposed to be the Diamond League final. I don't know. I'm losing my voice. But, yeah, Sharika Jackson gets the win. Tolu running well. Thompson Hurrah. Sha'Carri Richardson. And Richardson stopped for the media, which was great. Some of the times she doesn't want to stop, but she stopped, and she had a very, you know, positive attitude, which is great. And I think she's going to be very confident, and now she knows what she can do. She still knows that it's not going to be easy because she at least knows, like, hey, just because you beat him once doesn't mean you're going to beat him forever. So she now knows, like, all right, I got to be on top because Jackson will be there, Tolu, Thompson Hurrah,
right.
Shelly Ann. So it's exciting for Paris.
Exactly.
All right, 200s.
This one was interesting with Andre DeGrasse, I think, taking the victory. I think I was definitely surprised by that. I was expecting Arianne Knighton to just come through just because Noah Lyles wasn't in it. But Andre DeGrasse had a whole nother gear shift in his mindset. I don't know, but DeGrasse comes up on top on the men's side.
Yeah, Andre DeGrasse is a interesting guy. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It does not make any sense that he runs this fast in the Diamond League final. Let's look at his results this year. He was running 10-2, 10-16, 10-2, 10-2, 10-16, 10-18 in the 100. Those are fast high school times. Okay, he didn't even qualify for the final in the Canadian trials.
Right.
Let's look at his 200. 20.4, 20.3, 20.2, 20.3, 20.57, 20.3. He does run 20.0. So you're like, okay, Well, you got a little bit there. 20.01.
Yeah.
To win the Canadian Trials. 2019, 2028, 2010, 2014, 2026. He literally has yet to break 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And this is all the way through August 31st, 2023. And then September hits. Andre DeGrasse.
It just clicked.
And December is scary. Because September 8th, he runs 1989. And then September 17th, he runs 1976.
You just put it all together.
The guy was running, could not break 20 all year long. And then in September, he's like, I can run 19.8. I can run 19.7. I was flabbergasted that he was able to. I thought he was still going to run 20 flat, maybe a 19.9 high.
Yeah.
But no, he runs 19.76, which is a respectable time. That's a time that could have made potentially medaled at Worlds.
Yeah.
So, very impressed with DeGrasse's late season antics. DeGrasse and Aileen Thompson Hurrah are like the, I mean, it makes sense. They both did pretty well at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how they're the ones who not have a really good all year long, kind of sucked, and then at the end of the year, best one of the best.
Put it all together. Yeah.
Kenny B gets edged over Knighton. I like Kenny B, but oh, man, my bet that he would win Worlds did not pan out.
Are you continuing that for Paris?
Well, I said that Noah Lyles was going to win Paris, and then Knighton was going to win 2025.
Okay.
It was going to be Bednarik 2023, Lyles 2024, Knighton 2025. I was hoping maybe Bednarik would win the Diamond League final, and then I could be like, hey, technically he won the last race of the year, so it still counts.
Oh, but man.
DeGrasse ruined that for me.
Yeah.
Moving over to the women's 200, Shrika Jackson.
Yes.
Again, tries to break the world record, finds a way to run 21.5, and it feel like she fell up short. That's how good she is. Isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
She's making all-time marks feel like,
oh. I just want it for her. I just want her to get that world record.
Do you think this was her? Do you think though these past three attempts, worlds and a few post worlds, were her only chance at the world record?
No, I think this is just going to even motivate her even more now that she's made it very public that this is something that's on that vision board that she has. Next year, it's going to be scary.
So she'll be 30 next year. She turns 30 in July.
Scary.
So you still think she has at least one more year in her for world record capabilities?
Yes, at least one.
Two?
Maybe two. If she can stay healthy and get stronger, three, maybe.
Four?
I don't know.
Five?
No.
Okay, five. So not five.
Five is really, you're really asking it. But definitely.
I was wondering how many years I could add before you. Because it feels like you never want to say
eight,
that.
Eight, nine.
You never want to say an athlete can't do it. But there's a point when an athlete literally can't do it because they're just old.
It's going to happen. Yeah, I feel like this is just going to motivate her even more just knowing how close she was that she can do this. So I'm saying next year it's happening.
Will it happen at a world, like at a high level event, like a Diamond League?
Oh, that would be like the icing on the cake.
Or happen at like, do you think it'll happen in the Olympic final, or do you think it'll happen elsewhere?
I want to say Olympic final. Yeah. That would be like the ultimate winner right there. Winning gold and a world record? Oh my gosh. I got to get to Paris next year, I'm just saying, because I want to see it.
Is there anything better than winning Olympic gold with the world record in life?
I don't think so.
I feel like there is. Seeing your firstborn, having a baby.
That's I've never experienced that, so I can't compare that yet. I guess I can't compare a world record either. But I don't know. I think
having a kid is more crazy.
Maybe, yes.
Because it's like... But maybe... We should ask Shellyann.
Yeah,
what was crazier, when you won a gold medal or when you saw your first baby?
I think she's going to say first baby.
Yeah, that's the right thing to say.
Yeah.
But maybe it really is a gold medal. You always say it's the baby, but everyone's it's always the medal. All right, so Shrika Jackson, on hold, world record still on hold, but it's okay.
It's okay.
She still had a phenomenal season. Here's the question now. I ranked Noah Lyles ahead of Christian Coleman, even though Coleman beat Lyles in the Diamond League final.
Okay.
Who was the fastest woman this year?
Sha'Carri Richardson.
I think it's Sharika Jackson.
You think so?
Yeah.
Sorry, my brain was thinking, are you thinking 100 or are you thinking 2?
100.
Why do you say Sharika?
Got the win in Diamond League final. Okay. That matters. Let me bring up the rank. Let me bring up my full ranking. So my ranking is, I go Sharika Jackson 1, Sha'Carri Richardson 2, Tolu 3, Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce 4, Julian Alford 5, Elaine Thompson-Horas 6. Again, this isn't just like, let's replay the results of Worlds. Yes, we know Sha'Carri Richardson won Worlds. She's the world champion. But there's more to track and... I want there to be more than track and field than just that one race.
Is this your way of, like, motivating?
Yeah, what's the point of what's the point of track if the only thing that matters is Worlds? There has to be other things that matter. There has to be a Diamond League season that matters. There has to be PRs and, like, overall time that matters. So when you take into account Worlds, Diamond League, and overall top marks, I think Sharika Jackson has a better resume than Sha'Carri Richardson. Yes. You should put a little more weight on world championships because that does matter more. So you do give more weight to that. But Sharika Jackson...
But your question was, who is the fastest woman? Not who had the better season.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing.
No.
And most valuable player, whatever. It's who's the MVP of the 100? That's what I call it. Who is the MVP of the 100? I think it's Sharika Jackson.
I'm still going Sha'Carri.
Why?
I think Sha'Carri really, she's evolving into this athlete, and I feel like Sha'Carri put the marks together when it counted the most. And I think I'm just having the replay of, like, the 100 in my head where she, like, almost didn't make it into that final, but then pulls it out from lane 8 or 9, whatever lane she was in, the outside lane, to grab the victory. When pretty much a lot of people doubted her, she just came up on top.
So Sharika and Sha'Carri both ran 10.65. Mm-hmm. Their number two times were Sharika 10.70, Sha'Carri 10.71.
Okay.
The number three times was Sharika 10.72, Sha'Carri 10.75.
They're pretty much like this.
Yeah.
But if you're talking like overall better season, then I would probably go Sharika Jackson because what she's doing in the 200
is...
Yeah.
That bumps no matter what. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm only talking 100. Now, yes, Sha'Carri does have more wins over Sharika in the 100, right? Because Sha'Carri beat Sharika a bunch of times in the Diamond League regular season, obviously won at Worlds. But, you know, let's look at head-to-head. That's actually a good... Let's do that. Let's look at head-to-head. One last head-to-head look at in the 100. So Sharika 100... And we'll do Sharika Jackson. What do you think it is?
Head to head in the 100?
Yeah, this season. So they raced 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
5. Okay, odd number. So there definitely is a winner here.
Yes.
I'm going to go Sha'Carri.
It's Sha'Carri 3, Sharika 2.
Okay, so what meets did Sharika beat Sha'Carri in?
Prefontaine.
Okay.
And the semifinals in Budapest.
Okay, so, like, all the other races Sha'Carri had.
Yeah. But it's 3-2. It's not... Yeah, but it's not like... If they race tomorrow, I bet it would be 3-3.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think... My ranking, though, just wants to give a little bit of love to the Diamond League.
I see.
If Sha'Carri would have finished second in the Diamond League final, I probably would have put her... number one.
Okay.
But she got fourth.
Yeah.
How can a person get fourth in the Diamond League final be number one in the overall ranking? Without it being like a pull-up or an injury or a DNF, whatever.
Yeah, that's very valid.
I think if Sha'Carri got second to Sharika, then it'd be like, all right. The only time you beat her, she'd still get second. Then, you know. But, I don't know. They're 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. But it's fun. It's fun to debate.
Yes.
I would say I would probably I don't know. I don't even want to talk about who the favorite is. We talked enough about that. Let's keep on going. This podcast has gone way long. We've only done two events, three or four events, and it's been 35 minutes.
Hurdles, short hurdles.
Yeah, I think the story here was the world champions go down.
Yeah.
Grant Holloway lost. Daniel Williams lost. It's kind of, Grant Holloway is such an interesting figure, man. He can be so dominant, yet so, like, upset prone. Makes no sense. I mean, Hansel Parchment, don't get me wrong, is great. But this was, I thought, the most interesting thing looking at the 110 hurdles. If I had to say, where, if you look at the descending order list of times run this year, where do you think Grant Holloway ranks?
Descending order?
In the 110 hurdles.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
What would you say? Gun to your head. What would you say?
Third. That's what's sticking out.
Third?
Fourth.
No, you can't. No, you said third. That's what we thought. So he has the fourth. Oh, it's third. It's third.
Okay, I was right.
Tied for third.
Okay, still third.
Yeah. So Hansel Parchment runs 1293. Yep. Broad Bell, another Jamaican, runs 1294. Mm-hmm. Cordell Tinch runs 1296. And then Grant Holloway, 1296.
Okay.
It just seems so weird for Grant Holloway to be, like, tied for third, like, in the descending order list after. He feels like every time he's the best, but, you know, he's an interesting character. He's so dominant, yet can lose at any moment, which I think makes watching his races the most exciting, because you're seeing greatness with always on the flirting with, hey, maybe I'll lose, though. Maybe I'll lose.
Yeah.
So.
And I think one of the things he said, like, you can't underestimate your competitors either, like, Parchment, you know, Olympic champion here. So, yeah, it was Olympic champion versus world champion.
So we're going to talk about notable races and moments.
Okay.
The 400s, nothing really happened, in my opinion. It was like kind of a wash there. Let's talk about the men's 400 hurdles.
That was absolutely insane. The stadium was roaring when this was going on. It was nuts. Absolutely insane.
I'm really happy for Ry Benjamin.
Me too. Yes.
I'm also like, man, where was this a month ago? You could have done it, man. You could have got the win over Warholm a month ago.
Yeah.
Because we said it. This was the year to get a win over a healthy Warholm at Worlds. And everyone came up short to it.
Yeah.
But he still found a way to have a little bit of the last laugh. Throws down the world lead. Beats a healthy Warholm. And now you're thinking, hey, you're the fastest man in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You just beat Warholm. Maybe an Olympic gold is possible now.
I think it's always been possible.
I went from it was never going to happen.
Oh, no, I never
And then
that.
This one performance was like, I might believe again. I think I'm a Ry believer.
No, I never lost faith. Warholm was just on it, ready at Worlds.
There was no
Gosh,
reason.
It was such a wild race. Just seeing the last 100, it was nuts.
Yeah, there was. So, what do you take away from that? What do you think was... did you talk to him? Was in the mix-up?
I did not have a chance to talk with Ry. I did have a chance to just, like, overhear Warholm's conversation. He pretty much was just like, a lot of people have been asking, what are you doing during the off-season? How are you planning on relaxing? He's like, well, it's cut short now. Then walks away.
That's
I was
good.
Like... Hey, that was gamer. A mic drop. Warholm definitely left Hayward not satisfied.
I like that.
Or happy. So I was like, all right, cool. But I'm definitely so proud of Ry Benjamin. That was just, he fought all the way through the end.
Maybe Ry should have purposely lost to Warholm to make Warholm a little soft going into 2024 and then beats him in the Olympics.
Absolutely not.
He's going to be like, oh, man, I just put a fire under Warholm's belly that I shouldn't have done. I made a grave mistake. I made a huge mistake. But yeah, I was really happy for Warholm, for Ry. Because the men's 400 hurdles, even, and you can say the same thing on the women's side, which is having such incredible talent all in the same era, that there could be someone who is deserving of winning multiple golds, end up having zero. Now Ry got this win, he got that confidence, has the world lead. 2024 is going to be hopefully a good year for Ry Benjamin.
Absolutely.
Other events, women's 800, we're going up in distance, as you can tell. A thing, Mo.
Yes.
First of all, shocks the world that she is in the race. We're like, oh, okay. Because remember, in order to be in this meet, you had to get there in one of two ways. Mm-hmm. You had to get there either via qualifying in the regular season Diamond League via top eight, or you get the national wild card or global wild card, which was used everywhere. There was a lot of Americans who didn't qualify who are in every event, one American per event. And then also someone like Jakob Ingebrigtsen was qualified in the 3K because of a global qualification because he was the world champion. They're like, yeah, he's good enough to run in this race. Clearly he was because he won it. But Athingmo got the national qualifier. So she wasn't actually eligible to win the trophy.
Right.
But she is eligible to win the win.
Yes.
To win the win.
She got the win.
And she got it in an American record, 154. This was the Athingmo that we knew.
Yes.
It made that bronze finish at Worlds seem like an aberration, which it, looking at this now, it feels like that was. Mm-hmm. It feels like that was the outlier, not the norm. And that this 154 Athingmo is the norm. We're going to see a faster Athingmo in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
She found a way to end. If she would have ended her season with that third place, there would probably have been a lot of like mental like frustration all off season long. Now she can go into her off season and be like, all right, I'm fine.
Yes.
I beat Keely and Mary Mora. I ran 154. I ran a PB. As much as the craziness of all the 2023 talk around me was a lot to handle, it's all done.
It's all done.
I ran a little bit faster this year.
Close the chapter.
And now I can go into 2024 like with fresh legs.
Yes. And it was nice to see this refreshing Athingmo. I remember mentioning while we were watching Worlds, like it didn't look like the Athingmo that we're used to seeing. Seeing her in Eugene was the Athingmo that I'm used to seeing. And the emotion that she had just coming across the finish line, like even with her just like pulling the tape down and just screaming, I think it was just her of just like putting it together and be like, okay, I'm okay. Like things are good. Now I'm going to enjoy my off season, do the things I had planned I wanted to do, and I'm going to come back and be strong for 2024.
Yeah. And the race played out very kind of similar to Worlds. It was honest, it was hot, and she just this time was able to have it in her legs in the final 50.
Yeah.
Like the first 750 was very similar to Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Except now the last 50 meters was Athingmo showing. She got that strength. She got that 1,500 meter endurance in her to be able to hold off Keely Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. Keely still ran well. Mary Mora fell back. But, man, they're both young, too, so we should see this matchup multiple times going in the next few years. All right, men's mile. This, I think, was the race I was looking most forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Jakob talked a lot of talk. Was, like, calling it a time trial, trying to break the world record. Neguse was thinking maybe American record was in the cards. Jakob was, like, talking a little trash to, not trash, or, like,
trash.
You know, just saying, like, I'll be, don't worry, just stay with me and you'll get your little record.
Talking trash.
You'll get your little American record.
Okay. It was definitely present.
Come hang out with me when you're going in the world record category.
Yes.
But, I mean, Jakob kind of, you know, he's, ever since he lost to Josh Kerr, he just now has continued to be, like, running with so much fire and, like, anger. And the people watching it get to see incredible races because Jakob runs 3:43. Neguse just holds on, gets rabbited a full mile to break the American record, an Alan Webb American record that stood for so long. And now, Yara Neguse is the fastest man, the fastest American in the mile. Alan Webb says goodbye to that record.
Yeah.
A record that stood for such a long time.
Wasn't it like, never mind.
What?
Never mind.
How many years?
Yeah.
You don't know the exact number, so you don't want to say it out loud?
Yes.
Yeah, I know it's either like somewhere between 15 and 18.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. Or 20 maybe? We should just.
Oh, man. Because I was like, it stood for some time.
Alan Webb record. 3:46 from 2007. Quick math.
Math was not my thing. Wait.
23 minus 7?
14.
23 minus 7.
14? I didn't. 16. I went to school. 16. Okay.
I went to school for. Didn't you go to Texas A&M?
I did.
Agricultural. What does A&M stand for?
Texas Agricultural and Mechanics.
Mechanics. Don't they know how to do 23 minus 7?
Hey, I went to school for communications and journalism, so.
Journalism's don't do math?
Math was never my strength.
You don't play math in Texas A&M.
You don't play math. Me personally was never my strength.
So 16 years, it was it was held. Nagus gets it, and I saw some like interesting graphics pop up. Miles put up a thing showing his freshman year high school PB. Yes. It's like a minute slower. And
it's
then now,
wild how much you can just shave in the mile like that.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Nagus, I think people thought that Nagus would have a good pro career. You know, because he had the great kick out of Notre Dame. But I don't think people were prepared to be like, yeah, this guy's going to break Allen Webb's record. He's going to do it early in his career. He's going to be like, you know, he's running just incredible times. But now, this puts expectation. Now, you want to think, there could be, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but do you know the record he broke? He broke Allen Webb's record.
Correct.
Allen Webb's achievements at the World Championships, he got 25th in 2004, he got 9th in 2005, and got 8th in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So no medals.
No medals.
Yard Nagus has no medals.
Right now.
Right now. So the question is, will he be able to be more than just, hey, I can run a really fast time trial?
I think so.
Well,
I think so.
I know you think so.
I feel like him finishing fifth at Worlds this year helped him to see that it could be possible. Like how, and I also think it had to do with him learning as well, like competing at Worlds and stuff like that. I can definitely see him, like even this Olympic year, like grabbing a medal.
Yeah, no, he's capable.
Yes.
No, they're on paper, 1,000%. You see what he even did post Worlds, like he went up against Josh Kerr and ran well there.
Yes.
And then he was second in this Diamond League final. Like, that's a medal position. But, like, there could be a little bit of, like, hey, every time, if he goes out in the, if he makes the Olympic team and then finishes fourth or fifth again, there will be starting to think, like, what am I doing wrong? I am so fast. I have this, the workouts are going great, but every time I get to the third round of the 1500, I just mentally fall apart. Right?
Yeah.
So, I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I hope
right?
he doesn't think that way.
We
yeah.
want the, you know, I think Allen Webb looks at his career like, hey man, I wish I would trade all of my times for medals. And so, Nagus now is set up for like, hopefully he can not have to trade in his times for medals either. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm not projecting that to happen, but it's an interesting thing, you know, Allen Webb, as great as he was, he never got medals. Someone who wasn't running fast times, Matthew Sentewitz, has a lot of medals.
Yeah.
So you want Nagus to hopefully have a career that mirrors more of a Leo Manzano, Matthew Sentewitz versus Allen Webb.
Right.
So, but overall, amazing performance.
Yep.
On running, doing well. Mario Garcia Romo ran a record as well in that race. Jakob did Jakob things. Let's keep on talking about Jakob. Let's go right into the men's 3K. Jakob, man, this guy gets the win by 0.01 over Kajelka. Grant Fisher runs the American record in third, getting 7:25. But Jakob now, after losing to Josh Kerr, goes on to win the 5K, goes on to break the 2K world record, goes on to run a 3:43 mile, goes on to run the 3K Diamond League victory 24 hours later against everyone else who was fresh. Remember, everyone was fresh. He just ran 3:43 mile and he still beat them all.
Yes.
And then,
are you going to say what I'm going
to
say?
He went on to run a beer mile.
Exactly. His bachelor party is getting married this weekend.
So,
oh my gosh. Yes.
He's having a hell of a
5:22 beer mile.
5K world title, 2K world record, mile Diamond League record, 3K Diamond League title. And then a beer mile. And what was his time?
I think it was a 5:22.
5:22.
Yes.
Unofficial, of course. We don't know the legality of the different. There's some beer mile people out there who are very
into it.
There's rules.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't break them. They're like, yeah.
I bet.
You know,
it's serious.
I have a friend who's actually beer mile world record holder.
Oh, is that so?
I think she has a world record. She either has the world record or she's a world champion.
I see.
Either way, she's the best in the world. Shout out Elizabeth Lassiter. Mm. Shout out to Hopkins of Love. They just, yeah. So, but Jakob now, if Jakob gets into the beer mile game, I'm sure all the beer milers out there are like, wait a minute. No. Stay there. Stay on normal track.
Do not break any.
Do not come and start running a sub-4 beer mile.
Oh, goodness.
Could you run a sub-4 beer mile?
Yes.
You just said yes, like,
wait.
Too casually.
Jakob? Yes.
You don't.
Yes.
You know,
I feel like if he...
Do you know what the world record in the beer mile is?
No, I don't.
Okay. So the world record in the beer mile, I think it's 420. Only 12 men have broken 5. Okay, the world record is 428 by Corey Belmore.
Okay, imagine if Jakob didn't have all the traveling in his legs. I don't even know when he ran this beer mile. Was it Monday? Tuesday. It had to be yesterday. It had to be Tuesday.
Okay, so the world record is held by a guy whose PB is 357.
Okay. Okay.
So 343 is how many more seconds faster? We got it. Well, math.
No! Don't do this to me.
357 and 343. You can do it.
What was it, 357?
It's 14 seconds. It's 14 seconds.
Okay, 14. Good job. I just
his PB is 14 seconds faster than the beer milers.
Okay, so he would go.
So you get 428 minus 14. He would run.
406.
What?
406.
No.
What do you mean, 420?
No, it was 428.
Oh, minus 14. I thought it was 20.
No, it was 428 minus 14. Math again? It's 414.
Yeah, 414.
So, could he run a sub-415 beer mile is basically the question.
I think he could.
Yeah, he probably could. If you ever run a sub...
And he's young, too. Yes, I say
and
yes.
And he's young. Yeah, he's still got that
turned,
liver.
What, 23?
Yeah, he's still got that liver, so he's good. But yeah, I guess 4:15 would be his target, I think, in a beer mile.
Yeah.
So once he breaks the world record in the 15 mile, 2K, 3K, 2 mile, 5K, 10K,
beer
half
mile.
Marathon, steeplechase, and marathon, then he's going to end it with a beer mile world record.
I'm done.
That would be the cool. You, I think if you held every one of those records,
that'd be nuts. Oh,
you'd
gosh.
Probably be the coolest man on the planet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He could do it.
Absolutely.
He's going to get the mile in the 15. He has a 2K. Does he have the 3K? I don't know. But he's going to, you could argue he has the ability from 5K to 1500 to get all those.
Mm-hmm.
10K would be, I think, probably, like, what if you're just in shape, it's like, whatever, it's just chill for the first 6K and then run your crazy last 4K. I think if he became a marathoner, that's the big question. You saw, like, Mo Farah, he was really good on track, but never translated to a marathoner, so I'm not sure if a 35-year-old Jakob Ingebrigtsen is going to be Eliud Kipchoge-esque. But if he was, oh my God, it'll be insane. But hey, if he gets every record and then throws on a beer mile world record at the top of that, much respect. So, speaking of world records, in the women's 5K, although we'll talk about the women's 15 first. Women's 15, Faith Kipyegon jogs at 350.
Mm-hmm.
Jogs at 350.
Yep. Nuts.
Unreal.
I wish I can jog a 350.
She ran 350, and it looked like it was nothing. There was no real drama to this race because of how good Faith Kipyegon was. It made me wish, though, that she would have ran the 5K.
Mm.
Because
that would have been real interesting.
Let's go into the 5K. Women's 5K. Sagay, sorry if I'm saying your last name wrong. 14 flat.
14 flat.
New world record. Kind of wish it was 13:59 because that would look cooler. That would look cooler. But there's a lot of college boys out there who are like getting nervous that their PB of 13:55, 13:59, 13:58. Those are all the 13:50s out there are being like, uh-oh, the world record's coming for us. Because there's a thing in men's distance running is like, well, as long as I have as long as my PB is faster than the fastest woman ever, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and Sydney scared a few 400 hurdlers out there because she's like, oh, this isn't good. Now, so guys are like, oh, I need to break 14 to say I'm still faster than every woman ever. You know, it's a hell
crazy
of a mark. I feel like it can go faster, right?
Just imagine if Faith Kittredown was in there. Gosh, that was just, like, nuts.
Yeah, and it just shows that there's a different, obviously, there's just a difference between time trial type racing and championship multiple rounds in a 5K or 1500. Like, no one, the weird thing is, like, she runs the world record in 14 flat, but there was literally another woman in that stadium watching that being like, yeah, I'm better than that. Like, you break the world record and you're like, yeah, well, Faith was there. She would have ran 13:58. Right? Did you think that?
No, I did not. Oh. No. My brain was like, if Faith was in this race, how much faster would those two women would have gone? I don't know who would have won it.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. No, because Tisagay just broke it. So it's like,
Faith
they're
is
pretty
better.
Much...
Faith is a better runner.
Okay, well...
And if a better runner is in a race,
well,
they
the
win.
Better runner has her record broken at this point.
Yeah, that's because she wasn't in it. If Faith was in it, she would have ran it. She was in 30-50, 1,500 meters.
Okay, well, I guess she has to wait another time then.
Yeah.
Reclaim it back.
I just feel like in the era of Faith Kipyegon now, in the era of Safana San a few years ago, a lot of these athletes in the women's 15, 5K, 10K, the only way they can get a little bit of, like, dopamine hit is by breaking records. Because they know when it comes to championship racing, Faith is going to win.
Okay.
I'm running out of... I got no water left.
We need more water for Gordon. It was just a wild race as a whole. So we're just going to have to wait.
Yeah. All right.
Another year. All right, pole vault.
Pole vault.
Mondo.
Mondo?
Did it! And I was like, yes! Yes.
Did you put your arms out like
I
this?
I actually did.
Like that?
I actually did, just like this.
Don't you know media are not supposed to celebrate?
Well, I'm sorry. I was cheering for
supposed
Mondo.
Supposed to be unbiased.
I'm sorry. Well, a world record went down in front of my eyes.
You're supposed to be unbiased. I think the craziest thing about this, one, he did it on the first attempt.
Yes.
Of the world record height.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the entire competition, he took four jumps.
I know. And he talked about this during the press conference, how he was excited. I know where you're probably going to go with this. But, like, he was super pumped that, like, he didn't have lots of breaks in between. It was just, like, here are the top jumpers and we're all going. Like, there's no three jump, you know, qualifying.
Yeah.
You're jumping. And he did it perfectly. And he felt the world record was in him. He just had to put it all together. And he definitely did that.
Yeah. The most phenomenal thing is there was zero misses, four jumps with the... fourth jump being 6:23. It's unreal how good he is. He's going to continue to break the record. He's going to be 24 next year, 25, not his age, but 6:24, then 6:25. He's going to do a centimeter. He's going to average at least a centimeter every year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say every 3 years, he'll get 2 centimeters. And he's still has yet to enter his prime. He's probably at 10 more years in him. So I think he probably... I think he gets to like 6:29
mm-hmm.
before he's done. 6:29. That's what I think his final world record will be.
All right.
And he'll try to get 6:30, and he'll just come up short. And he'll feel like, oh, it's so disappointing. I was like, what are you talking about, man? You broke the world record like 40 times.
40 times already?
Come on. And then another U.S. record, Chase Ealy in the women's shot put.
Yep.
20:76. Now has the world lead. The world title and the Diamond League title. And then in the men's shot put, upset, Joe Kovacs, always giving us moments to make us believe that Krauser could potentially lose when we think he's going to win. Because Kovacs now has another Diamond League title, beats Krauser by 2 centimeters. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because Krauser threw bad. Krauser threw the best ever second place shot ever.
Yeah.
It was 22:93 to 22:91. Kovacs and Krauser can continue to go back and forth at each other. Oh,
thank you.
You got some more water. Thank you.
There you go.
Kovacs and Krauser continue to go at it. It makes Krauser's win more amazing because obviously the injury he was dealing with.
Yeah.
Kovacs still continuing to hold on to, hey, yes, I get it. Krauser's in my era, but I'm not going to let that scare me. I'm still going to show up thinking I can win. And, you know, Kovacs could win the Olympic title. He could.
Yeah.
There's zero reason not to believe that.
Oh, absolutely.
Krauser's going to be the favorite, but it wouldn't be shocking if Kovacs won the Olympics.
I totally agree. This performance was just incredible.
So, yeah. There was other events, but we only are doing like an hour of podcasting.
Yeah.
We actually done a full hour. We need to talk about some other stuff.
Yeah, we do. Let's talk about the Berlin Marathon, which is in Germany. It's going to be live on Flow Track featuring Kipchoge.
We need to tell people who can watch it live on Flow because it's only for people in certain countries.
Oh,
so
U.S.?
If you live in Latvia, Turkey, New Zealand, Estonia, Lithuania, we have a lot of Lithuanian fans.
That's awesome.
All you Italian fans out there, Irish, the Ireland fans,
mm-hmm.
Australia, we have some Aussies. People live in the UK,
Canada,
and United States. So if you live in any of those countries, you can watch it live on our website.
Yes.
And it's Kipchoge.
Yeah.
That's all. Obviously, it's the Berlin Marathon. We think every Berlin Marathon is like his last because he's coming near the end of his career. It's like, oh, because he's going to want to do other different marathons. But no, he keeps on coming back to Berlin.
Yeah.
We thought we had no more Kipchoge at Berlin, but nope, you get one more. Kipchoge in Berlin. And the preview when it comes to Kipchoge is how fast. How fast will he run?
And can he bounce back after finishing sixth in Boston back in April? I think that's also the big question. Will he be able to bounce back from that?
I think he will. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to be on world record pace through the first half marathon.
Yeah.
The question is, will he hold
another world record? Do you think he'll break it?
I have no reason not to think that because I thought his world record thing was over. Like, but then when he did it, was it in Tokyo when he did it?
What, the world record?
Yeah.
No, it was at this meet.
Oh, it was Berlin Marathon. Oh, yeah. Wrong. Sorry, not Tokyo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Yeah.
When he did it last time, I was like not expecting it. So now I'm going to choose to just expect it.
Okay.
And I think
it's always opposite of what Gordon thinks.
That's how the world works.
So don't expect
That's it. Why I don't announce that cross-country team in the envelope.
Yeah, don't. Because I still
if
don't
I announce
know.
It,
I still don't want to know. So let's continue that.
I won't tell you.
November 10th.
Yeah, November 10th.
We're almost there.
Yeah, but Kipchoge, I mean, what's there to really break down anymore?
Just get out there and run.
You really can't overthink it.
Right.
It's Ilya Kipchoge. He wouldn't run the race unless he was healthy. He wouldn't run it unless he knows he can put down a good performance. He wants to get the win. He's probably not going to break the world record, but I'll say he is. That's my take. He's probably not.
You saw how I looked at you.
He's probably not.
Why?
Probably not, but I'll say he is.
Let's just see. Got to wait and see.
So, yeah, watch that. It's on Sunday night. If you live in the U.S.
Sunday, technically morning.
Yeah, well,
here.
Midnight. Central, I think it starts something
I think
around
it's
2 a.m. 2 a.m. Central.
Somewhere in that ballpark. It's in the morning.
Yeah. Wake up early or don't go to bed.
Don't go to bed. Yeah.
Don't go to bed.
And then stay up for an extra 2 hours.
Yeah, and then call off. Don't go to work on Monday.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
No, it's Sunday, so you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
You don't go to church. Sleep in. This is an excuse. God has given you an excuse. You got to watch Kipchoge.
Got to watch this marathon.
It's okay. You will be forgiven. If you say, why didn't you go to church that Sunday? It's like, well, Kipchoge was running the Berlin Marathon. And you're like, God's going to be like, I get it. I created that guy. I created that freak of nature who can run marathons out of the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Women's side.
Yes.
You wrote some notes here about the women's field?
Yeah. Assefa. I'm not quite sure if that's how you say her last name. But she's the defending champion. And last year, she set an 18-minute personal best to win this race in an Ethiopian national record of 2:15:37, which is also the third fastest marathon performance of all time. So she's going to have some competition as well with Sheila Chipkiparu. I believe is how you pronounce her last name, and she's the bronze medalist at last year's Commonwealth Games in the 10K. So it's going to be a great field.
Yeah, I remember when she ran that 2:15.
Yeah.
The women's marathoning, man, they just, new women just come in out of nowhere and be like, yep, I can run 2:15. Yeah, I can run 2:16. I'm a sub 2:20 runner. You see, Safwan Hassan, yeah, I can win the London Marathon. And Assefa was one of those athletes where like, wait, what? You're going to run 18 minutes faster and run 2:15. So excited to see the women's race along with the men's race. Check it out live on FloTrack Sunday early in the morning.
Yes.
All right, we only have a few more minutes. Let's mm-hmm. get into it. We'll break this down on Monday along with the Berlin Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
But cross-country season
is here.
Officially begins this weekend.
This weekend.
And all the best athletes and teams are going to be at one meet in particular in Virginia.
Yes.
It's the Virginia Invitational in Charlottesville. They are there because that's the host for NCAAs this year. So a lot of these teams are going there to get a little course preview action because they're not going to go to pre-nets. Instead, they'll go to Nuttycombe. So they come here, see the course, go to Nuttycombe, get the points, and then we'll see them all in NCAAs. But looking at these are our rankings, right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So we have...
Oh, actually, those were last year's finishes.
Oh, last year's finishes.
Yes.
All right, last year's
finishes. 2022.
You have NAU, who finished first last year, BYU finished third, Stanford, who finished fourth, Wake Forest, who finished fifth, Air Force, who finished seventh, North Carolina finished 10th. So, six teams on the men's side who all finished top 10 are in this meet.
Yeah.
North Carolina, NAU, Virginia, Georgetown, Colorado, and Stanford all finished top 13 last year on the women's side.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be there. I'm just here really excited to see, specifically on the men's side,
NAU
debut, going up against BYU.
Okay.
And then ultimately Stanford.
Yes, I'm excited for Stanford.
The Leo and Lex show.
Yes.
How will they do? Will they be in their top five? Will they be looked upon to be legit scorers for Stanford? It's going to be an exciting race. But really, you kind of get to see the first real look at the young Stanford crew.
Yeah.
Can NAU continue to dominate? Lots of interesting things to unfold. That I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited to see the young twins and how they're going to place amongst this really strong Stanford team. And especially with NAU being there, it's going to be great. And BYU as well.
Yeah. We won't really preview too much into it because here's the thing. A lot of these coaches, they mess around a little too much.
Yeah.
We can think they're going to do something with their athletes. And then, like, all of a sudden, half of their ace athletes are not running. They're all doing a workout. So there could be a situation where the teams that NAU, BYU, and Stanford put up really only have four of their varsity members,
mm-hmm.
and that three of their top seven don't even run the race.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to really preview what they're going to do because we won't know who actually is running. Like, it's a chance even Lex and Leo don't run, and they just do a workout instead. Stanford does interesting things as well. So
right.
we'll have to really wait to see the results, but the results will come down Saturday morning. We'll break it down. How we look at that on Monday. We'll have new rankings because of it, and I'm excited.
I'm pumped. Also, just happy for some cross country.
Also, mm-hmm. keep an eye. All right, to the camera. There's a team nobody is talking about. The team nobody is talking about is the New Mexico Lobos.
Okay.
Yeah, Gordon, New Mexico Lobos. They just lost their head coach, Joe Franklin, who went to Louisville. And all of the top women transferred. Yes, that's all true.
Do you have an inside scoop?
That's all true. All the top women transferred. But some top men transferred into the men's program.
Okay.
And they got a pretty interesting core of notably three international transfers.
Okay.
Who they have the talent to potentially go 1-2-3 at Nationals.
That's a bold statement.
Now, I don't think the odds of that happening, very rare. Probably it won't.
Mm-hmm.
But New Mexico, they're running, I believe, Roy Griak this weekend. Putting it out there now on September 20th, people are going to be talking about the New Mexico men in the year of 2023.
You mean today? September 20th today?
September 20th today. I'm putting it out there.
Or do you mean, oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm saying it right now. I want to be first to the...
Okay, you're just throwing it out there.
I'm being first on the bandwagon.
Okay.
I'm joining the bandwagon. I'm on the bus. I'm driving the bus. Right now, there's nobody on it.
Okay.
There's a lot of seats, though. Do you want to join the bus?
I'll the
New Mexico
the
bus.
I'll join the New Mexico bus.
Okay, so you're on my New Mexico bus. So now it's you.
I'm the first passenger.
You're the first passenger. We have a lot of passenger openings. People are going to be wanting to buy tickets on this bus after this weekend when they see what New Mexico does at Roy Grieck.
Okay, so stay tuned. That's a big meet.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we're going to be talking about NAU, Stanford, BYU, Colorado, Oklahoma State. It's also...
Oh, yes.
I have some inside information on Oklahoma State, which I can't tell.
I was about to say.
But they are going to be good as well. They may be NAU. But they also may not, because NAU is really good. But they might... We'll learn more about NAU after Big 12s. Just put it that way.
Okay.
We'll watch Big 12s, NAU's... We'll learn more about Oklahoma State at Big 12s. But yeah, New Mexico men are legit, and nobody knows it except for everyone at New Mexico, because they know it, because they see the workouts. Keep an eye on that.
And you and me.
Yeah, we're on the bus.
We're on the bus.
People can join our bus on Monday. We'll start selling some tickets to the bus.
Sounds good.
To New Mexico bus. Okay, that's the podcast.
That's the podcast.
What should we tell them? Should we tell them to like or subscribe?
Both. Why not both?
You only get to choose one.
Subscribe.
Yeah. Don't like. Just subscribe.
Just subscribe.
Like us next week. Subscribe this week.
Yes.
That's all. Thank you for... We were supposed to do the podcast Monday, but you're traveling back.
Yes.
Still able to talk about pre. We'll be back to our typical Monday schedule next week. 12:30 next week, Monday. Recapping Berlin. Cross country. Track is over.
Track is over.
But we're going to still find ways to talk about track. So if you listen...
Focus on the grass, please?
Well, no,
that's where my brain is at.
We have a lot of podcast fans who don't really care about cross country.
It is way too early to be even thinking about indoor.
I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people who listen...
On that note.
...who when we start talking about cross country, they go... Skip. So we have to find ways to get those people not to skip.
Okay. Well, my brain's on.
So what I'm going to do is every time we talk about cross country or marathoning, we just got to like throw in like a random Noah Lyles take or a Fred Curley comment or like a tweet from Sha'Carri. We just got to find ways.
Fine. I can do that.
But ultimately what we can do, go to our website. We have world rankings. You can disagree with them because they're not the way they finish at Worlds because that's whatever. World rankings. Check them out for all the events. But also... We have, like, athlete of the year discussion.
Okay.
We can start talking about, hey, who had the best performance of 2023? We can talk about all those things. So, like, who do you think is athlete of the year? We're going to sign off in 15 seconds. So, Amanda, in 15 seconds, end the feed. You have 15 seconds. Who is the male athlete of the year, woman athlete of the year? 15.
Mondo? 14. Sharika Jackson.
Okay. Sharika Jackson. I thought Sha'Carri was better than her. Anyway, we'll talk more about it.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk
Wait,
more
you have
about
to have your picks.
No,
Wait,
no.
Amanda, stop.
No.
No, your picks. No, you did it for me. Amanda, don't sign off. Men and women.
No, I don't.
MVP.
Hey,
go.
You don't make...
Go. And then we can sign off. Amanda, don't sign off.
It's Faith Kipyegon.
Okay.
And Mondo.
Awesome. We'll see you next week.
Bye.